Welcome to Sunday morning worship from Zanesville Neighborhood Church. All are welcome to join Zanesville Neighborhood Church at our new location, the Trinity Presbyterian Campus on Military Road in Zanesville. Join us for worship every Sunday at 10 as we seek to love God, love neighbors, and make disciples together.
All right, everyone. I'm excited to let you know we're beginning a new teaching series today. It's 5 weeks in length, but I want to remind you that generally what we've been doing over the past month or so is talking about the church. Who are we as the church? What is God looking for from us? This has been connected with our, of course, celebrating 10 years as a church. And we've talked about this over a few different teaching series and heard from a few different New Testament voices about the church. The month of October, we're going to hear from one more. And that is the person who is responsible really for the most writing in the New Testament, and that is the Apostle Paul. And he had a lot to say about the church and how churches were supposed to live together. The Apostle Paul had a lot to say about that. I'm going to explore what he says about the church through the lens and through the theme of acceptance. This is a theme that he touched on. This is a word that he used. And we're going to look at his thoughts on the church through the lens of acceptance. You may have heard me say before, this is an area of interest for me and a study that and research and study that I've been involved with. I'm interested and concentrate on the Apostle Paul in general. That's his writings are an area of interest to me, period. But then also, hearing from him on the matter of acceptance and some of the things that we'll talk about during this series has been something that I've looked into in recent years, and I'm glad to share it with you during this series. If we put up the next slide, I want to invite you to read together as we go, and I'll put this on Facebook as well, but some reading that you can do from Paul in October. These are the different letters of his that we'll be talking about on the different Sundays. Again, I'll put this on Facebook as well. But generally, if you want to just read Galatians and 1 Corinthians and Colossians and Romans and maybe read through them a couple times this fall, that would be good and would enrich our study. Now, to begin today, we're going to talk about Galatians. Our message is entitled, Getting in Line with the Gospel. We're going to be in Galatians 2, beginning at verse 11. If you want to turn that to that in your Bible, if you have one with you, you can. It's also here on the screen. Let me just read the first part of this, and then we'll talk about it. When Cephas, that is Peter, came to Antioch, Paul's writing to the churches in Galatia, and he's giving here kind of some autobiographical information, a story, something that happened. So he's saying, I, Paul, opposed him to his face, Peter, because he stood condemned. Before certain men came from James, that is James, the brother of Jesus, a leader in the Jerusalem church at the time, before certain men came from James, that is Jerusalem, he, Peter, used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. Now, we just kind of hold that. We're going to leave it up on the screen for a minute. And I want to just invite us to think about, we've been studying the church. Let's think about as much as we can. Let's go back to the first century and the first churches, the early Christian movement. And what do we know about it? You just think from your reading of the Bible, from your knowledge, what do you know about the way that the church started? Well, some things that we might say would be it started with tremendous power. There was Holy Spirit empowered miracles and signs and wonders. Or we might say, well, we know it spread kind of amazingly and kind of rapidly through the Roman Empire. We might say that about the early church. Or we might say, well, we know there was persecution that happened, that the early Christians operated in the church under this cloud of threat at various times. So we know there's persecution. But I want to say today that another major thing that comes to us through the New Testament about the first church and the earliest churches is that they were navigating this kind of tension between Jewish converts to Christianity and Gentile converts to Christianity. Did you know that in the earliest churches, there was really this collision that happened? When people came to Christ, that was awesome, that was good, but they came from different backgrounds. And so there was this theological and cultural collision that happened in the church, and they had to sort that out. And so people like Paul said, hey, you're all one in Christ. This is awesome. We're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. But there was all this sorting out that had to happen when these two different groups of Christians started coming together and trying to be a church together in places like Antioch. Let me tell you about Antioch, but before I do that, I'm going to tell you about Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, the church was mainly a Jewish church. It was a converts to Christianity from Judaism. From an outside observer's perspective, this looked just like another strain or another variety of Judaism, one that is now following this guy named Christ, Jesus, as Messiah. But other places in the world, like Antioch, the church was made up of Jews and Gentiles. So it wasn't just a exclusively Jewish thing. And some people think that's why, for the first time at Antioch, Christians were called Christians. They needed a name for this thing. It wasn't just a Jewish thing. There were Gentiles a part of it too, following Christ. And so for the first time at the church at Antioch, the Christians were called Christians. So if we don't get anything else from this teaching series about from the Apostle Paul on acceptance, I will at least want us to get the idea or just have an awareness of that the early church had to wrestle with this because it was a diverse church made up of Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. And they had to sort through that. One author says that in places like Antioch, it became kind of a laboratory for the church to wrestle through how it could live together despite differences. And this is what we begin to see here as Paul tells it in Galatians. Now, to sketch it out a bit, in Judaism at the time, there was a separateness that existed from Gentiles, that is, non-Jews. So the Jews were God's people, and as we know, they had directives from God on how to live regarding food and rituals, circumcision. And so there was an avoidance, an intentional avoidance of Gentiles on the part of Jews. Now, some Jewish factions, Jewish strains were more strict or stringent on that. So we can't necessarily paint them all with one brush. But this group that came from Jerusalem to Antioch was one that had a habit, a lifestyle deeply ingrained of separation, distance from Gentiles out of reverence for God. So when the Jerusalem church began following Jesus, they had to grapple with what parts of their old religion to hold on to and which parts to let go. When the gospel was preached to non-Jews and they turned to Jesus by faith, the Holy Spirit was poured out on them, created some tension. Again, in Jerusalem, this wasn't so much a problem, but you go to places like Antioch, and then what do? So we have this kind of cultural collision at Antioch. Now, the Jewish Christians who came from Jerusalem to Antioch in this incident told by Paul are what's known in church history as Judaizers. If we put the next slide up, here's just a definition of a Judaizer. A Judaizer was a Jewish Christian who believed that Christians needed to add to their faith in Christ an adherence to certain Jewish laws and rituals, such as circumcision, in order to be accepted by God. So these were Jewish Christians who were holding on to certain Jewish regulations as a part of their faith. And Peter, in this story, is influenced by them. He knows what they believe. He feels the weight of their convictions, and he begins to pull back. This brings him head to head. Imagine this, Peter and Paul. Head to head, Paul says, I opposed him to his face. Paul, on the other hand, has a huge problem. Let me say it again. It's a huge problem. In the sorting out of this new church, this new movement, Paul has a huge problem with these guys. He will not accept their way of doing things or their influence. Here it is in his own words, if we read down the page in verse 14, Galatians 2. When I saw that they, the Judaizers and those who they had influenced, including Peter, were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of them all, you are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? We look here in verse 14, the verb translated acting in line with is a word that we will be familiar with. It's the Greek word orthopedeo, but from the root of that word, we get our word orthopedic. If you go to an orthopedic physician or surgeon, you're going there because something is broken. It's out of line, right? They're going to put it back in line. So that's the word that's used here, in line with. It's used only once in the New Testament, but it's used here and it's familiar to us. So what's Paul saying? That things are out of line. That the way they're acting by pulling back from the Gentiles is not in line with the truth of the gospel. What is the truth of the gospel? The gospel is that Jesus Christ descended from David, risen from the dead, has come as a sacrifice for sins for all people, that they may be saved by faith alone, not by adherence to the law. So those who came from Jerusalem were apparently then Judaizers who would have affirmed Christ as Messiah, but then sought to hold on to certain aspects of the law in order to be accepted by God. And so their refusal to have table fellowship with the Gentiles meant that for the Gentiles, in order to sit down with them, they would have had to then take up different laws or follow different laws that Jewish Christians were holding on to, perhaps circumcision. For Paul, this is not in line with the gospel because the gospel is that all people are accepted by God through faith in Jesus Christ plus nothing. All people are accepted by God through faith in Jesus Christ plus nothing. See, it's the plus nothing part that the Judaizers were missing. Verse 15, Paul goes on, we who are Jews by birth and not, here I think he says, quote, Gentile sinners, know that a person is not justified by the work of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. And so Paul says this, he preaches this, doesn't he, to the Galatians. They apparently were dealing with the same kind of problem. There were some Judaizers around. So he comes very strong in the early chapters, early verses of Galatians, saying, don't listen to them. Don't follow that. Who's bewitched you? And then he tells them this story of Judaizers coming to Antioch. And then he goes on and has a memorable, beautiful passage we'll look at here, Galatians 3. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through what? Faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Beautiful, memorable passage from Galatians. Now you know the background. Paul's talking to and writing to a church of the first century that is a diverse church trying to sort this thing out. And what he's saying is the truth of the gospel that we must accept is it's faith in Christ plus nothing, not holding on to laws in order to be accepted by God. Pulling it all together in a big idea today, church, the gospel is that all can be accepted by God through faith in Jesus Christ. Getting that wrong for Paul, for us, is unacceptable. Getting the essentials wrong is unacceptable. Getting the gospel wrong is unacceptable. Thus, Paul comes very strongly at this. Now, as we talk about through this series, Jew-Gentile differences, we're going to come across some differences that the church just had to accept. They just had to say, okay, we're different on this. We need to accept that and go on. Next week, you know, today I've been hard on the Judaizers, as church history has been hard on the Judaizers. Next week, we're going to look at some things that the Gentiles in the early church really had to change, some ways that they had. We'll look at that next week. So there's going to be, as we go, there's give and take here, and there's some differences between the two groups that just have to be accepted. But this one, living in line, acting in line with the truth of the gospel, is one that they have to get right. Difference on this point for Paul is unacceptable. Now, we're going to do this today. I did this a few weeks ago. I've got my church history timeline up here on the stage again. If you weren't here for this a few weeks ago, I've got a cross over here on the left-hand side of me, and over here is on the right is the year 2024. So you imagine this kind of like a timeline of church history from the time of Christ to 2024. And I made a couple different stops a few weeks ago in a message. So I'm just going to make one stop today, and I'm making my way through the centuries. Where will Pastor Jeff stop? Everybody's on the edge of their seat. Where will he stop? All right, how about right here? I'm stopping in the 1500s, by the way, right about here, the 16th century. So early in the 1500s, a young monk by the name of Martin Luther was assigned to preach and to study and to teach at a small community in Germany called Wittenberg. And Luther was a gifted young scholar whose unique approach and strength was that he, get this, studied the Bible itself. At that time, many priests, leaders in the church did not study the Bible. They studied theology and writings of the church and things the church said and put out. Luther studied the Bible itself and studied it in its original languages. Eventually, he came to the conviction that the church in his time was acting in a way that was out of line with the scripture and with the gospel. The Catholic Church at the time had clergy that were just going through the motions. They'd developed an extensive system of indulgences by which people could pay money in return for a guarantee that certain sins could be forgiven from the church, or in return for a guarantee that their time in purgatory would be shortened or some such thing as that. Okay, so you see, it's not accepted by God by faith alone, but then their church is adding these things by which a person may think that they're accepted in order to get more money for buildings, etc., indulgences. Luther, important for him, was the study of the book of, yes, Galatians and Romans. They were influential for him. For him, those two books were really the biblical centerpiece of his reforming work. When he arrived at Wittenberg, he gave lectures that were very popular. He lectured on the book of Galatians at 6 a.m. in the morning and on Romans at 7 a.m. Through his personal study of Galatians and Romans and the rest of the New Testament, he became convinced that the just shall live by faith, an Old Testament quotation that is from Paul quoting the Old Testament to say, the just shall in fact live by faith. One is justified by faith alone, not by works, not by money, not by any other service done to the church, done in the church or elsewhere. The big historic moment for Luther came when he took his study and his convictions about this public and protested the practices of the church that had gotten out of line with the gospel. He tacked his 95 theses on the door of the church in Wittenberg, and that marked the beginning of what in history is known as the Protestant Reformation, which changed the world and changed the church. I know it's a complex thing. I don't mean to oversimplify it here, but it was an attempt and a good one to bring the church back in line with the truth of the gospel. From the Protestant Reformation came these short summary affirmations of what it was all about. Five of them: sola scriptura is Latin, sola scriptura, scripture alone; sola gratia, grace alone; sola Christus, Christ alone; sola Deo, gloria, for the glory of God alone. And then finally, the one we're really talking about today from the book of Galatians, sola fide, faith alone. The gospel is faith in Christ plus nothing, or from the Reformation language, faith alone. People had tried to put other things on it. That's unacceptable. What about churches today? We want to get this essential gospel right, don't we? We don't want to add to it, subtract it, distort it, pervert it, anything like that. And thanks be to God, we have some of the same resources that Martin Luther had. We have the book of Galatians, the book of Romans, where Paul emphasizes it, fights for it, communicates it over and over again, the centrality of the gospel. So we as a church, let's bring it to us. How do we need to act in light of all this? We want to stay in line with the truth of the gospel. We want to talk about it regularly. So for us as a church, one of our goals is we want to talk about the cross, the empty tomb, God's acceptance of people by grace through faith. We want to make that the center of our church as it should be. We want to keep the main thing the main thing. I was encouraged a few years ago, and I'll close with this. We began a partnership with the River Radio. And this is a partnership that I realize I don't talk about very often, but I'm going to take this opportunity to talk about it today because it is a partnership of our church, and I just want to tell you about it and remind you of it. And it goes like this. It's a partnership because they approached us, and I don't know that this will be a partnership that goes on forever, but it's one that we have right now. They approached us and asked us to be a part of their Renew program. The Renew program is worship music and preaching on Sunday mornings. So we send them our sermons and some of our praise songs that our worship leaders do here. And we send them, and they're played on the River Radio at 6 a.m. on Sunday mornings. I don't imagine that as many people tune in at 6 a.m. as tuned in for Martin Luther at Wittenberg when he's preached on Galatians, all those times very popular. But I don't know. We have sermons on the radio at 6 a.m. And we share them with whoever's listening. We also get some advertising from them. In terms of what they get from us, we give to them. We give a little bit of money to them as part of this partnership, and we think that's a good thing. I, like many of us in our church, we believe in the ministry of the river. We think it's a good thing for the kingdom in our area. But here's how the whole thing started. The river and some of its leadership came to us a couple of years ago. They were looking for a new church to be a part of the Renew program, and they asked us to consider doing so. And they'd listened to some of our messages online, and what they said was something along these lines. When we listen to your messages, we hear the gospel. We hear the gospel, and that's kind of what we're looking for. We're not looking for a watered-down gospel of just some kind of good thoughts and some ideas and teaching on some morals. We're not looking for politicized preaching. We're looking for preaching the gospel, and that's what we're hearing from you. Now, I thought at the time, well, we we put our sermons on our website. I don't know how they're received by everybody out there. But these folks, whoever was in leadership at the time, said, when we listen to you, we hear the gospel. Well, I thought at the time, good. That's what we want people to hear. It is the main thing. We need to keep it the main thing. We need to teach and live in line with the truth of the gospel. It's so easy to slip from that in the church. It's so easy to slip from that and slip into other things. May we, by God's grace, continue to preach, to live out, to live in line with the truth that all are accepted by God's grace through faith plus nothing. Amen.
All are welcome to join Zanesville Neighborhood Church at our new location, the Trinity Presbyterian Campus on Military Road in Zanesville. Join us for worship every Sunday at 10 as we seek to love God, love neighbors, and make disciples together.